This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
First of all, we're starting the episode and we're just about to crack the thing and I just hear 1, 2, 3. Like we needed to do it on cue and we could just open them up at the same time. It needed like
brotherhood.
And you counted so fast, there's no way I could have like you're like 1, 2, 3. Yeah, go back and listen. You hear me, I just go 1, 2, 3.
I loved it.
If you heard that sound, it's the sound of the bros.
We're back.
The next week. I'm trying to speak, but I can't. We're back to back.
The week after next week.
Well, that, what?
Right?
I'm saying we did an episode last week.
Oh, okay. But aren't we taking like a week?
And we're taking two weeks off because we did back to back.
Yeah, and also Thanksgiving. I'm going to be out of town.
Where are you going?
Indiana.
What's there?
Family.
Really?
Yeah, my grandma's out there, and she hasn't met either of the kids because COVID's been going on.
Oh, so you guys are the whole family's going to Indiana for Thanksgiving?
Dude. Both my cousins have kids.
Your dad, mom going too?
Yeah.
It's like a full family thing.
Yeah, whole family, brother, dad, mom, Becca, Rad. Kids. But yeah, my cousin out there just had a kid. She's she's a little younger than Ruth. And cool. Then his older sister has a son. He's like 3 and a half.
Okay.
Maybe 4. So like none of the kids have like met each other. And then also my grandmother is a great grandmother.
Yeah, of course.
She's got four great grandkids. She hasn't met 2 of them. So, you know, we're trying to get out there.
Love that.
That'll be exciting. It'll be a fun Thanksgiving.
You want to hear something weird? Neither me nor Jess have cousins.
That is weird.
I have 2 aunts, 2 uncles, all single, never been married, no kids. She has what? An aunt? No, an uncle. Two, like a couple uncles, a couple aunts as well. All single, no kids. Dude, how weird is that? Is that just insane to me?
Maybe. I mean,
do you know anyone without cousins?
Not off the top of my head, no. But I mean, like, there's people I haven't asked about whether or not they have cousins.
But think about it.
Yeah. My friend Henry, actually.
No cousins?
None.
Dude, it's such a devastator because it's like, we both don't have them. And everyone I knew growing up with had them. So I was just always at everybody else's family.
I could be totally wrong about that.
That's what I'm
saying,
bro.
Henry might have cousins.
It's weird.
I don't know.
But yeah. I come from like wildness. Like my whole family's wild compared. Like it's funny. My immediate family, dad, mom, everyone's just normal, like normal job, normal life, everything. My aunts and uncles are wild. Both uncles went to jail for decades. And both aunts. One aunt lived
decades.
Well, one's 14 years. One's like 16 years. So maybe
for
so,
what?
One was
that is decades together combined.
Yeah, one was for a Ponzi scheme, a $21 million Ponzi scheme, and the other one was for a prostitution ring and heroin.
Wow.
So I It's so crazy, dude. Want to hear a crazy story about my uncle? One time my uncle came in to Thanksgiving. And I haven't seen this uncle in 10 years, 15 years of this now. But like back when I was like 12 years old. And he walks in to Thanksgiving. And he's wearing a white shirt and there's just blood all over it. And we're just like, hey, baby, how's it going? And he's just like, yeah, how's it going? He had no idea he had blood on his shirt. And my dad like pulls him aside and I'm like listening. And like he's like, you got blood all over it. He's like, oh, sorry about that. You have like a change of clothes I could have? My dad's like, yeah. And then I hear my dad's like, what happened? He's like, well, you know, this guy, it was eyeballing me on the road. And, you know, I had to set him straight. So we pulled over, we fought. And I'm sitting there just going like, who's serving turkey? Insane, dude. He's wild. And I just never heard from him again.
You know what's wild, though, is that the guy pulled over.
Well, people rage, bro. If you give someone the finger.
I try to be cognizant of it because I get you don't know really who
people
upset.
Are. People might be my uncle out there.
I know. That's why I don't do anything of like, I just get really frustrated and upset behind the wheel, but I don't like speed up next to somebody.
You never know who's
out there. I called the cops on a guy who got really mad. I don't know what was going on, but he was mad at me about something on the road. And every time I tried to change lanes, this guy would cut me off. And it was like fully like swerving across the highway type stuff to the point where another car saw what was happening and tried to block this person from letting me go because I would try to slow down or some shit. And it was like obvious that this dude was just like, crazy. I called the cops and like reported his license plate as a drunk driver. That's the most like narc shit I've ever done in my life.
That's some dad shit.
Yeah, you know, it was like some serious dad vibe. But I was also like, this dude's going to like cause, I was like,
he's going to hurt somebody.
I'm going to fucking get in a crazy ass. It like the I've been in car accidents. Like if you're in a car accident on the surface street, you're fine. You get in a car accident on the freeway, that's like the least of your worries is the car you actually collided with. It's all the fucking cars going 80 miles an hour right behind you. That's like, I was like, dude, I don't want anything to do with this. And like, yeah, I was freaked out, dude. If that's your uncle on the highway, just like looking for dudes to kick the shit out of.
He was crazy, dude.
I don't know.
I never
man.
Knew him well, but like he would just show up to like the occasional Thanksgiving or the whatever, and I just would hear stories about him. And he was just this crazy guy. Like he one time he called my dad from prison. He had broken out of like a cell and had broken into one of the officer's offices.
How?
And was like calling him from a phone. And he's like, and then he's like, wait, what? Where are
you? Why did
like,
you call me? He's just like, to let you know.
I'm calling because.
In like, prison.
And he's
though.
Like, the FBI is after me. I'm like, I think they already got you. They're not after you, big guy.
No, dude. It's like,
they
no,
got
bro.
You.
No, the FBI works alone. They don't like city cops.
Right, right. No, it was, he was going, he was like,
you know what?
The government's listening to us and ourselves. I'm like, probably. Like, what are you talking about?
If we learned one thing from movies, though, the FBI really doesn't actually like city cops. City cops don't like the
FBI. That's true. That's true. They beef.
I guarantee you, if the FBI wanted some guy and he was in like county jail, they'd be like, fuck you guys.
We'll just walk in and get him.
We're going to just do this. Dude, I mean, this is going into some crazy
is
shit.
This, is this a Grayston just like deep
no.
dive?
9/11.
Oh,
CIA.
Here we go.
FBI shit. Bro, they had known, they have like different agendas on how they want to arrest people.
Mm.
Like CIA is basically like, oh, like we want to see where this small fry leads. We want to unravel the web.
Sure.
And go for the top dog. So they'll let lower end
sure.
guys
that's like
stay
normal.
On the street
yeah, yeah.
to see who they talk to, mm-hmm. who whatever. The FBI is just like, fuck this dude. If they step foot in the US, like we don't care where he falls in the pyramid or whatever your fucking plans are, we're going to arrest him.
Mm.
And so like basically I forget the exact details, but like CIA withheld information from the FBI on people who were on those planes, like
so
the hijackers,
that they could keep them
so they could follow the money
to
trail.
The top, I'm sure.
And that was like a big component of like, I think since then they've become like, they've had to address like, this is fucking stupid. Like we right. should be working together.
We're playing
more.
Too loosely.
But the idea when the agencies were created was like, there was some rationale behind being like, no, they're two completely independent working forces with like different objectives and different approaches to solving issues.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it is, might have been a little bit of a deep dive. It might have been. But you know, this is how you go. This is buckle hey, baby. Up. This is buckle up,
welcome
baby.
To the 9/11 conspiracy corner.
9/11 conspiracy corner.
Hey, the government's lying to you, man. Listen here for the real truth.
No, but see, that's the thing. I don't see. Do you think the CIA is the government?
I don't care.
I don't think of them as the government. They're just like some rogue militant agency that gets a license to do whatever the fuck they want.
Sure. Aliens, same. It's like, this is all stuff that doesn't...
Aliens exist, dude.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
What do you mean, exactly, exactly? We exist, bitch. We're aliens. What do you think we are? To anything, to any other, like, any other thing? You really honestly think...
I'm Evan out here.
Because here he is. Mr. Evan guy.
I know how to get riled.
We're two.
Okay, broads. Here to interrupt the bros for a second. Listen, I know it's 2021, almost 2022, but up until very recently, it seemed like our period care was decades behind. Why someone created pads and tampons years ago and then just never decided to revamp or reimagine them until quite literally the last few years is a mystery to me and everyone else, but here we are. I guess I'm just glad FlexFit came along and is turning period care on its head in the best way possible.
Thanks to FlexCare, you can actually have period care that checks all the boxes. It's good for you, it works for your lifestyle, and it's easy on the planet. Flex has two awesome products to pick from. First is their zero waste reusable menstrual cup. My life changing, 10 out of 10 recommend. Been using one for years, so obsessed. If the idea of a menstrual cup intimidates you, I know they're different. Different can be scary. Fear not. Flex has a patented pull tab so you can remove it exactly like a tampon. Super easy to use, designed with beginners in mind. You will figure it out within one period and you will never want to go back.
Mm-hmm. Also, you've got to try out the Flex Disc. I had never seen a product like this until I used it for the first time. And broads. It took one time and I was hooked. The product is like this flexible, firm disc with soft plastic on the inside that fits all the way inside of you. And get this, it's the only product that allows you to have 100% mess-free period sex. So enough said.
Say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/chatty and use code chatty for 20% off the Flex Disc starter kits. Or 10% off your first Flex cup, plus free U.S. shipping. That's code chatty and Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/chatty.
Broads, nothing makes me feel more put together than a good old-fashioned manicure, okay? I get my nails done and suddenly I'm talking with my hands, tapping my nails on the table, anything to draw attention to those beauties. But we all know how horrible it feels when after 24 hours you inevitably chip one of said nails, then it feels like such a waste of time, such a waste of money, because professional manicures aren't cheap. But now you can give yourself a professional level manicure right at home with the help of Olive & June.
Okay, and their Mani system I think also makes a really great gift. So Olive & June's Mani system comes with all the tools you need to give yourself salon quality nails, like a dual grit nail file, cleanup brush, cuticle serum, super glossy top coat, nail clippers, and polish remover. And if you pick up the Mani system plus 6 polishes, which by the way, like I was saying earlier, makes a amazing gift, it breaks down to just $2 a mani. Getting the same thing done in a salon costs easily upwards of $35.
Okay, and here's my personal favorite part, okay? The Mani system comes with this patented brush head called the Poppy, which makes it so you can easily paint your right and left hands, and one won't come out looking like you did it in the dark.
Yeah, game changer.
A game changer. Olive & June makes my nails look like they've been professionally done for so much less time and less money. It's amazing.
Getting beautiful salon-perfect nails at home is now a dream come true with Olive & June. Your new nail life is here. Visit oliveandjune.com/chatty and use code chatty for 20% off your first Mani system. This is an exclusive offer you can only get here. That's OliveandJune, oliveandjune.com/chatty, code chatty for 20% off your first Mani system. oliveandjune.com/chatty, code chatty.
We're too not, both our women complain at us about not being spiritual enough.
Well, just so you know, I'm getting more spiritual.
Are you big?
I am.
Did a tarot card reading help you?
That was really helpful. I love that. I've been in therapy.
I'm trying to start that too.
I'm new to the therapy game. I'm brand new and I got this guy that's incredible. He was a friend of a he was my friend's therapist.
This dude you were telling me, the old guy.
Yeah, he's 87 and he has a little bird. And he's like this like
Shut
really
the
cool.
Fuck
or
up.
Sorry, 77 and he has a little parrot.
A bird on his shoulder. He's a pirate.
He's super cool. And the more we talk, the more I'm like, you know what? I've been closed-minded about a lot of this stuff. So it's been really good.
It's boring to be close-minded.
It really is. And it's a defense mechanism.
It's so easy, though.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
That's what I've come to realize. Welcome to the Serious Bros.
Welcome, dude. Dear bro.
Dear bro.
Let's divulge in some defense mechanisms.
No, I just have realized that, like, a lot of my, you know, non-belief and coming from, like, past life, you know, past, like, experiences from, like, my childhood and stuff and a bit of, like, closed walls off in regards to, like, spirituality and stuff like that is, like, when you shut yourself down from anything entirely, you're losing out on a lot, right? Because, like, there's no such thing as everything is wrong or everything is right. It's like it's moving and changing. So it's like it's not even about right or wrong, too. It's also just about experience, which I'm starting to realize that I'm like, and since I've been like working with him and kind of working on myself and all these things, like there's been certain things that have been happening that have been really like unexpected. You know what I mean? That's been really good for my self and my growth. But one thing that I didn't see coming, it's been making me more, definitely more, you know, intact with my, just kind of what I need and things that like I've been burying and also my emotions and things like that, which is like, there is a side to it that's like, once you open the wounds a little bit or rip the scabs off, it can be good that you're experiencing more of yourself. But at the same time, it's like, it kind of makes you a little more raw throughout the day. That's what I wasn't expecting. Like in therapy and then like in my like meditation and times like that where I'm spending working on myself, it's like, it's really good. But then you kind of like open yourself up to it. I've noticed that I've kind of felt a little more sensitive. Mm. Like throughout the, like things will happen that like I could have brushed off before because I was like a hardened cement pillar.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm a little bit of a wet cement,
mm-hmm. You absorb
things can stick a little harder. And it's kind of like, woo, this is a new journey I'm on.
Right. Yeah, I know. Becca, you know,
I got to say something though about Gray. Start. Gray had the best response ever. We were talking about therapy, and
I know that's why I said. First off, I said I got it. I'm gonna start that.
like it's weightlifting or something. Like it's keto.
Wait, tell him. What was
you going the best thing ever. I'd been talking to my therapist for like a week, and I was brand new into 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know. It was early on, and I was like, dude, it's been really, actually, really good. And I'm unexpectedly just having a really, really positive experience. And he goes, yeah, I'm supposed to get into that. But like nothing's wrong and nothing's wrong with me. So I don't know why I need to do it. And I just, nothing has made me more happy than hearing Grayston just say, like, honestly, like, I don't know why I got to do it, though. And like, nothing's wrong with me.
Yeah, but
it was one of the funniest things. I was laughing so hard. I almost puked. It was the funniest thing ever. Just someone go, yeah, I gotta start that. Like I gotta get my oil changed, I know, but that car runs fine.
I'm not into it. I'm like,
it was killing me.
My mom made me go to a lot of therapy when I was a kid. I don't know. I'm like, whatever. Becca wants me to do it.
It's not
so
for
I'm
everybody,
gonna,
right?
Becca wants me to do it, so I'm gonna do it. But like I honestly I'm like it's not I'm not looking right. forward to it. But I'm also like,
I've cutting been, into your surf time.
Look, I've been in and out of.
I mean,
trust me, dude. My friends were like, well, you like, you know, it's better to go to someone like in person. I was like, fuck that, dude. I'm not gonna spend the time driving on the fucking road to go to someone's office.
I like how you go Zoom, fuck dude. That. I'm not driving on the fucking road. Like we all know the roads bullshit.
No, dude, just Zoom.
I don't do hey, roads.
Dude, no, I mean, I've meetings via Zoom have changed like the idea of like what meetings actually need to be held in person
right,
to me
right, right.
so much. And the idea of like, I don't know, like, look, I've been in therapy before and I understand like not just when I was a kid, like when I had first started my business, for instance, I was like, I really want to understand the aspects of myself that like want to lean into procrastinating as opposed to like lean into the stuff that I don't want to get done because yeah. I was afraid that like the bad habits that I had with like school and college might take over when I was trying to start my own business. And
sure,
I was like,
sure.
I want to be more aware of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, if you're going to do therapy, you can't like the only, it is very much the thing of like, whatever you put into it, you're going to get out of it.
Sure.
So if you want to avoid the process, fine, but I'm also spending my own money.
And you also got to be like ready and wanting it, right?
Yeah.
This isn't like,
exactly.
It's so like if you don't want it, it's probably
going to. I don't
gonna,
want it.
Then it's probably
Becca
not going to work
me,
well.
Well, no, but this is the thing.
Unless
is
someone
like,
forces you into it.
Yes. So like before it was my mom. Now it's Becca. Wow.
Right, right.
But you know, Jesus, dude. God. But yeah, so like, I don't know. I'm going to take it seriously because she wants me to do it, but. Hey, I'm not looking forward to it.
Got it. Well, I mean, listen, it might.
I'll talk about it, though. It'll probably be good. It'll probably be exactly what you're talking about. I'll probably
I'm
have
not
some...
crying. You're crying.
I'm not crying. There's just dust in my eye, dude.
Dude, did you watch the episode?
I did watch the episode.
Sick. How'd you feel?
Talk about guys who need therapy.
Dude. What did you think? Okay.
I mean, part of this is I'm disappointed that our burgeoning villain is off so soon.
Mm.
Kudos to Michelle for not putting up with this bullshit. But
you
at the
Chris?
Same time, like, yeah, Chris was the most entertaining part of the show in the last like couple episodes for me, to be honest.
He walks up in the middle of the day and just goes.
I loved it.
He just goes, hey, you know, I stood up for you back there and you didn't really like do anything for me after that. And
what
I'm just like going
say?
Like, what's going on?
What did
on?
He say? He said he felt, what did he say?
Like, he's like
not
the guy
slighted, but he said something like that effect.
He basically was saying like, you
like,
didn't
you
come
did
up to
me dirty,
even after.
Basically.
Yeah. You did me dirty. And you gotta love it, dude. He's the guy that comforts your girl when you guys are fighting and tries to tell her that like she deserves better. And then all this stuff.
You're like, dude, he looks at other girls all the time.
Yeah, man,
like,
you don't deserve
don't
that guy. And then she
so
doesn't like
about.
You. And you're pissed at girls. And then it's like, oh, that's a problem with girls. And it's like, no, it's the problem with you, loser.
He's literally like, I feel he feels disrespected because Michelle just didn't do exactly what he said. I thought she laid it when he was
she
like explaining
him.
It, dude. And she,
well,
like,
yeah.
I think that was like a very powerful thing to be saying. And I was like, and he totally like completely went over his head.
Well, it was like such a misogynistic move to be like, the way he did it wasn't like if he really cared about her, he just would have gone to her and said, hey, I'm really sorry that this happened to you or whatever, whatever. I just want to let you know that like, I don't want that to be our relationships. If you feel that way, just let me know. Something. It was still like lame, but like you could have done it. But the fact that he just stood up in front of everybody and said, shame on all you guys. Like,
well,
she doesn't deserve that. It's such a classic.
It said
like,
so much to me about
just like I am smarter than her and all of you. And you, it's just like, dude, grow up, man. Like,
dude, it was that. It was like adolescent and just like beyond privileged.
Yes,
those were like the two vibes I got. Where it was like, so everyone's supposed to listen to you. Everyone's supposed to respect your opinion. Everyone's supposed to make time so that you can have a voice. When like really. You were just whiny.
Right.
And then you were pouty on your group date when you had an opportunity to turn things around and get her to pay attention to you.
Right. I just love him because it's funny seeing him next to all these other guys who are just like confident and mature to see him like just kind of like squant, like just kind of like.
But he's
being so out of it. It's like, how do you not realize?
He's confident in this very other way. Dude, this is what we've talked about of like people we like to see on the show are these people who live like Queen Victoria.
Right.
Where it's like Queen Victoria is like, yeah, there's so much insecurity bleeding out.
Yeah.
But there's also a confidence at the same time of like.
But it's like blind confidence.
Totally.
It's like a billionaire son
no,
confidence.
It's like you are, it's entertaining because it's like you are not in the room with us.
Well, because he's like.
You're just not here.
He's
like,
not
you're
living
not,
reality.
Exactly. Exactly. Chris is the same vibe where it's just like, bro, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
How do you get off like thinking what you think right now? And like, if I were to spend time with him, like beside me, I'd be so mad. But if I get to watch him on TV, I'm like, keep the man on the
right,
show.
Right, right. There's a level of like, it's like
keep
watching. Yeah, it's like
on.
If Jeff Bezos had a 30-year-old. It's like he's kind of just this like, wait a second, I didn't get what I wanted. That means you're wrong.
This
like
is not justice.
Yeah, he's got this kind of like, wait a second, I said something nice about you, and you're not calling me. What do you mean?
It's I defended
like,
you.
Yeah, I was a nice guy to you.
I stood up in front of, do you have any idea what kind of courage it took for me to stand up and say those words?
So embarrassing.
And expose myself in that way for you?
It was hilarious. What did you think about Joe's date? Solid.
Yeah, I mean, it was solid.
Okay, how about this? Joe versus Nate. How are we feeling in that? Because that, let's be very clear. That is the rivalry.
What I mean, what are you feeling like? I feel, dude, there's a thing to me where I'm like, okay, here's what I'm feeling. Because this is an interesting thing that I'm feeling.
What are you feeling?
There's a lot more sexual tension between Nate and Michelle. And there's, I think, like more relatable connections between Joe and Michelle, and like understanding, like really seeing who that person is,
yeah,
and like having like an innate understanding of them.
Innate.
And that's like, I see those kinds of things. And like, we see her, like she kicked Chris off the show and she didn't once address the fact that Chris said, there's a bunch of red flags about you, according to this little loser that I just kicked off the show. She came in like, she was like, well, you know, I just decided that it wasn't the relationship for me. And then she was like, and I kicked him off the show.
Right.
And it was like a flirt. It was like flirtatious.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be like, yeah, I kicked him off. Like, he was talking shit about you and I just kicked him off the show, babe.
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa.
Right.
Like, that's some shit. You know, that's like totally different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is a tough feeling to like be, you know, right now, Nate's at the top.
That's how I feel.
Nate is by far at the top. But let the show progress. Let the show progress. And I feel like Joe's going to be just...
No, here's what I'm feeling.
He's coming up, dude. He's coming up like a rocket ship.
I still feel like Joe's ahead.
Yeah. I mean, rocket ships don't take off like this. They're like...
They build. But my thing is this. If I were to... I think there's two... You know, there's Nate and Joe. Like, honestly, I think everybody else could just go home at this point, personally.
Rocket ships.
That was really good. Really, really great analogy. I think Joe's always been in the front. Mm-hmm. I think he still is in the front. Just from this, you know, just from these episodes watching it, I think Nate's the best choice. What I think we have...
Well, you think Nate's the best choice.
Hear me out. Here's what I think. I think Nate's... You've seen him time-tested with drama.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen him handle Chris. You've seen him handle Jamie. You've seen him handle multiple problems. And he, every single time, doesn't talk shit. Doesn't react emotionally, doesn't come after someone, doesn't go back to Michelle and talk about how lame they are. Even when he was talking to Michelle's friends on the boat and they asked who's here, not here for the right reason.
He didn't say the name.
He didn't say a person. He totally could have. And he didn't say a word. He's like, you know, I'm not really too interested in that. Like, there definitely are some of that, but I'm more focused on Michelle. Super mature. He's also really like, I think he's got like, he's a little bit more charismatic. He's got a little more like, I don't know. He's a little more fun to me. I think all signs point to like Nate's the guy. I think Michelle is probably torn and leaning towards Joe because of like the Minnesota piece, the basketball piece. We lived the same lives. We were both Mrs. and Mr. Basketball. We both have been through so much together. So there's almost like a childhood bonding.
There's so much
bonding
that lights up in a book. And not to mention that they had chemistry before the show even started.
And she DM'd him. So the attraction
totally
was already there.
And I mean, you got to think too, like the stuff that Joe's let us know about, like for instance, when he talked about his injury.
That was heavy.
That's super heavy. And I think that's the kind of thing where like, for instance, like when people share trauma from their life, like you can understand like, wow, that was emotionally difficult for you. Like when he talked about like, oh, why did he ghost her? And it was like, well, I was in this neighborhood. There was like, he was not in a neighborhood with racial conflict. He was in the neighborhood.
Right.
And then you have something where it's like, wow, yeah, I spent my entire life working towards this objective and this goal. Recognized for it. Top kid in the entire state. He could have gone to any college he wanted to for basketball. When you get that kind of recognition, dude, you got ESPN on you. You're on Sports Illustrated. You're like doing all that kind of stuff. And you blow an injury out like that takes your entire future away.
Brutal.
And that's something she could like relate to intrinsically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like she felt that. I think it's interesting when people talk about those things. It's very trauma. Personal trauma is very, is usually very unrelatable.
Right.
And she can understand it. She can relate and she can like feel that and like understand like,
yeah,
you know, what that did, especially when he talks about like how it affected him.
And having your whole life dashed before your eyes.
Totally.
Like,
I don't think she has
so a, heavy.
I do not think she's developed any sort of understanding of character towards Nate in that way. Like, Joe managed to have that and pivot his life.
So hear me out on this. Here's my thought, though. I agree with you entirely. Love Joe. I think they have so much in common. It's wild. I don't think that's always the best thing, though, for a relationship.
Might not be.
They almost seem like the same person. They've lived almost the same life in the same town with the same accomplishments. I'm a little bit like, I would feel like he's the safe bet. Where it's like, he knows all the same people and the same coaches and the same world and we go to the same cafes. But is it, is that the bet? Is it, like, it's probably a safety with him. But I would bet that, like, the chemistry with Nate seems a little more raw in, like, a cool way. Like, they seem to be a little more hot for each other.
Dude, I'm calling out, that's Midwest.
What's Midwest?
You've never lived in the Midwest.
No.
No, they value that shit, dude.
Do you?
My family's from Indiana, bro.
He's like, yes, the Midwestern side of Los Angeles.
My parents went to high school together.
Just kidding.
My parents were in like the same classes together in high school. It's actually really funny because my mom, my dad's like, yeah, your mom was really cool. And my mom's like, if you had told me in high school that I was going to marry your dad, she's like, I would have laughed in your face.
Right, right. So,
so funny to me.
But all I'm saying, I'm just joking around about the Midwest thing. I don't really know, like, you, so you're saying it's Midwest to want to have the same exact life as your partner?
Like,
or
my family, for instance, like, my family that still lives in Indiana
right.
is, like, born in Indiana, lived in Indiana, raised their kids in Indiana. Their kids didn't just go to high school, but they also went to college in Indiana, married their high school sweethearts, plan on having their kids in Indiana, raising their kids in Indiana.
Are you, but you're thing. Saying that's the best
they
thing?
They like the fact that they both know all the same people having grown up.
Oh.
That they grew up in those areas. They never deviated from that. Not like never deviated in a negative way. Just be like that. They like having a like such a deep-rooted bond in like the its surrounding area and community and being like, I know that person who now runs this store, I knew their dad. And I came here with my dad when like this, you know, like, generational stores, all that kind of stuff to me is like, it's just kind of different. Whereas like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like the environment of LA is like, everyone's got to like grow up to be somebody and go somewhere and do something as opposed to just be like, it's totally fine to just like, so, like if you loved the place you grew up, just like settle down and raise your family where you grew up because you loved it so much.
Might be like a clean fit.
There's something to that. Yeah. Where I'm like, I don't know. She might think, I mean, dude, she's already asking people, like, she's expecting them to move to Minnesota for her.
Right, because she's not moving.
She's not moving from Minnesota, dude. The fact that he's got deep roots in Minnesota is, like, that's probably strength for him in that whole thing. He doesn't seem like he wants to leave Minnesota.
Yeah, that's probably, if you're, like, pretty locked in on staying in Minnesota, then, yeah, you're probably like, this guy's great. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I really like.
I'm just saying. You know?
I really like Joe. But they're both so laid back. And I feel like Nate is a little bit more, you know, he's got a little bit more jumping off the page a little bit. Like I sense from him, he's a little bit more maybe like outspoken or like a people person or whatever.
That we're not seeing.
No, I'm just saying from the vibe I'm getting, all I can go off of what I've seen. But he just feels a little bit more like you see a lot of footage of him talking with all the guys and joking around and then like having conversations. Joe's never a part of any of these. And so I just wonder if, and he always talks about how he really struggles with like opening up and having talking. And so I just wonder if like, it's like the perfect fit versus like possibly the best like connection.
But I also wonder this. So like, I was thinking about this on the car ride over here. We're like, I wonder what I would be like on the show. Would I want to be friends with these guys or would I look at all of them and be like, fuck all of you, dude. I don't want to talk to a single one of you guys. I'm going to sit in my room and listen to my audiobook and do like push-ups and sit-ups the whole time and just be like focused on getting utterly jacked for the camera and just like focusing on Michelle. right. and not being like, I'm not here to make friends
right.
with you guys. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the world to me when I hear these guys be like, this is just such a rock solid group of men. Like, it's such an honor to know you guys. It'd be like, dude, what are you talking about?
Clayton?
I'm just talking about in
Clayton's
general.
That guy. He's just like, I won the challenge. These are these my
guys,
boys.
I'm looking at these guys. We're like, do you not remember the fact that like they're all going after like the girl you're also going. I don't want to be friends with you. I've been in situations where I dated a girl who was in a long distance relationship with someone. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I never want to actually meet this person. I never want to see that person. I don't want to know. I don't want to like put a face to just like, there's just some dude.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
And then lo and behold, I end up meeting him and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, fuck that.
Right.
Done.
Right, right, right.
Can't do it. I can't. I just like, I'm not into that. I'm not into like, I don't want to know this person. I don't even want to know their name. I don't want to be in the same room or like share a bedroom with this person or like go through that. I don't want to be friends with you.
Mm.
And I'm listening to like when the guys talk about like other guys on the show and they're questioning them and they're like, yeah, he just doesn't like, he's totally different in front of us than he is with her. And it's like, no shit, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
It's never going to be the same. Are you kidding me?
Like, he doesn't want to be my friend. Like, dude, are you confusing why you guys are even on the show?
Yes.
You're on the show to make friends?
I also think that like a lot of times guys probably sense that it's not going to work. So then they focus on the guy relationships.
Because it's the only thing to get you through it.
Right. So I would bet that like there's certain guys that are like, we don't seem to have chemistry. She doesn't seem to be wanting to hang out with me. I get just every group date.
That's like,
I'm probably not going to last very long. Hey, what's up, boys? Like, I bet there is a little bit of that. Let's be real. It has to.
I mean, you see guys like that. Clubhouse guys. Where like the rest of the guys are like crying when those dudes leave.
Yeah, because it's just like, you know what? I made the most of my time. I realized that like we didn't have the connection.
But you know you're a top dog before top 10. Like Joe.
No, sure. That's what I'm saying.
Joe and him know that they're beyond the other guys.
But there's middle packers where it's like we have a connection enough to where it's like fun. But then we're also.
Who's our middle packers? Droopy Dog.
Droopy Dog. Clayton.
Clayton for sure.
Oh, he's done a little better actually. But we know.
I mean, this is the dumbest shit about
the fact that we know. Yeah,
the fact that we know. It's like you guys. We know he's that up so bad. He's cool, but what is wrong with you all?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'm just getting the sense that maybe there's a couple guys that go like, we have a little bit of chemistry enough to keep me going in the show, but not enough to like beat out Joe and Nate and these other guys. So like at the end of the day, I'm just gonna focus on my relationship with the boys.
Find like a workout buddy.
Exactly.
Because you know that's all they do. That's all they like.
I remember during Katie's season, there was a couple of those guys that were just like, yo, so how's your time here? And they were just working out 6 hours a day. Speaking of working out.
Yeah.
Before we get into our guest.
Yeah, we have a guest.
We have a guest.
We have our very first guest.
And their very first, well, no, we've had Craig on, remember? That was our first guest.
Oh, yeah, we had Craig on. What's up, Craig?
But we have a Bachelor Nation guest.
Yeah, we do, dude. We got one of the, we somehow, Evan and I skirted, we docked it on ABC's pier.
Mm-hmm.
And we somehow circumvented the guards.
This is like a bit of a Pirates of the Caribbean kind of like we snuck off and we kind of climbed over the British guards.
We Jack Sparrowed the shit out of this.
We did.
And
we got him. So we got a guest in a few minutes here. But the last thing I want to talk about before we get into our guest. Did you catch our boy Ty Ty on his photo shoot?
No. What's Ty's photo shoot?
Wait, you don't know about Tyler's photo shoot?
No!
Okay. This is the best thing ever. This is the best thing ever. I cannot believe you have not seen this.
We haven't talked about him in so long.
Okay. Here we go.
I just like get confused at first. I was like, Ty. And then you said photo shoot. I was like, you're talking about Tyler Cameron.
Okay, here we go.
Cameron.
This is big, dude. I can't believe you don't know about this. I'm so happy.
You're talking about the face of Hoka.
I'm talking about.
What's this. He got? He has some protein drink he represents too. He's talking about Tyler Cameron, protein
I'm
drinking, Hoka wearing.
I'm talking about this picture that just dropped.
Best friends with Matt James, Tyler
Little
Cameron.
Calvin Klein vibe.
Is he Tyler Cameron III?
I don't know, but this is big. Okay, a lot of you broads and bros will know about this. So the fact that I'm exposing this firsthand will be great. I'm gonna show him the picture now. He just dropped this.
What?
Check it out in detail. Zoom in.
What the actual? There's nothing there. There's no filter.
No. Just
full dickhead.
Just full. And it's like they just got the tip of the underwear wet. Like they just got the tip wet so that you could fully see it.
Like he peed himself.
Just a little bit of pee-pee.
Just a little bit of pee-pee.
I mean, how wild is that?
Look how sultry my man looks.
Dude, man looks unreal.
Is hungover? Like, is hungover the secret to looking sexy?
Does he look hungover? Oh, he looks a little hungover. Yeah, right? he looks like he had a little bit of a fight.
Pretend you looked hungover.
But also be shredded, so when you're hungover, it looks good.
For the man.
Dude, wild pick, huh?
Super wild.
That's exactly what I want to look like.
That's what you want to look like?
Yes.
But you could be like jack-jacked.
I don't want to be jack-jacked.
But my body type, that's the biggest I'll ever get.
That's what I want to look like right
there. No matter how many, I'd have to take so many supplements to put on weight to look like that. I just actually started. Today was my first day with a new personal trainer.
Nice. Congrats.
I've never really stuck with one. I say new like I've had one.
I need to get one.
I've worked out with friends. This is the one I'm going to make a commitment, trying to climb V10.
So listen, if you got it, flaunt it, dude. I mean, listen, if someone...
Tyler's got it.
If someone told me, hey, we love the fact that
Tyler's
your body looks
guy.
And you're the sexy, and we, by the way, we want to put a little bit of wetness on the tip, I'm going full tip. Like, no issue.
Tyler is a sexy guy. But look, this is something of, like, this is a perfect example of... Tyler was a contractor.
What if that guy's...
Now he comes off the show and he's showing his pee-pee through wet underwear.
Dude, it's amazing.
It's a long distance from contracting. I'm just going to say that. He's doing good. He's doing good for himself. You know, Gigi Hadid, all this stuff. Like, the man's got a lot of exposure. The man's... a lot of doors open for Tyler Cameron. He's a cool guy. All I'm saying is now you're getting paid to put your dick tip out there in an underwear commercial.
And I will say, the dude pulled it off.
I get it.
Speaking of hot guys,
do girls like tidy whities? I want to know this.
Listen, it doesn't matter.
Underwear like that sexy? It doesn't matter when you look like that.
That's what I'm saying. If you look like that, tidy whities look great.
He's so tan too.
He's a Miami baby. He's just running in Miami, baby.
Welcome to Miami, where the heat is on all night.
But we got a good looking next guest. So
man has swag. The man has a muzz, which you notice.
Did you do that for him?
No, I actually didn't do it for him. I did it. Becca hates when I do it, but we. I was about to say something. It's a little sensitive. Too late now. we were taking a little shower together, and I shaved. I shaved in the shower before she came in, and I left just the muzz for fun, and then I forgot to shave it. And then, dude, I had to go renew my license today. Yeah. And I had to update it to the the photo like this. And I was
of course.
Like, I didn't mean to, like, that. I would not have done it. I just totally, like, forgot that I even left it on there.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Dude, I'm also, when they do the photo, they're like, 1, 2, 3. And so you, like, smile and you're like, oh, it must be
It's 10. Halfway through.
And then it's like, actually, on like 4.5 is when I actually flash. So she was like, 1, 2, 3. And I was like,
and then as you're coming down,
I went, and that's when the flash happened. And I was like, she looked at my photo and I was like, will it work? Is it work? Is it
like,
good?
Will that
she's
pass like, as me?
She's literally, she looked at me and she goes, yeah, it'll work. And sent it through. And I was like, the fuck is my photo, dude? I want to be like, I really hope it actually is like what. Like one of those really funny ones.
that's the thumbnail for the episode.
My driver's I have sideways. You have one of those photos where they're like, "How do you get this photo?"
It's like the eyes are rolled back in your head.
My friend in high school, this kid Damon Kaufman, got a photo where he did like, you know, you're not supposed to contort your face,
right?
He did one where he went like, he was smiling, he said, and they were like, 1, 2, 3, and he was smiling, and he went like right at the end. That was his driver's license photo.
He went with it.
17. Yeah, he just like had, it was like crazy photo.
I love it. Well, our next guest is a real treat. And you know what? I'm not even going to say who it is. Let's just get into it.
No, we're not going to say who it is, but just know that we're trying to go, we want to dig deeper into who we, like, we just want,
yeah,
some, we want some stories.
We, America did not get enough about him, and so we're bringing more to you.
We're bringing him here, dude. You're welcome.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros one last time. All I want for the holidays is silky soft sheets that don't hurt the planet. Well, I guess what they say is true. Ask and you shall receive, because Etitude is delivering just that this holiday season. And no sheets have wowed me and changed my sleeping game like Etitude.
Yep, most sheets are made with materials that consume a massive amount of water and energy during production, not to mention treated with a ton of chemicals along the way. All in all, just not great, obviously, for the planet, but also not to wrap yourself in each night for 8 hours. Etitude set out to find a better type of sheet, and that's when they introduce us to their bedding made from organic bamboo, baby.
Oof, okay, Becca and I both have a set of these, and we love them.
Love them.
And if you're wondering what it's like to sleep on bamboo, it's kind of similar to the texture of silk, but without that insane price tag. Plus, Etitude's sheets wick away moisture and regulate temperature to help keep you cool and comfortable all night long. It's incredible. It's changed my sleeping. Try Etitude's bamboo sheets for 30 nights, and if you're not 100% satisfied, you can even return them for a full refund.
Right now, you can get 20% off your order plus free shipping when you visit etitude.com/chatty and enter promo code chatty. Remember, that's Etitude, as in attitude with an E, as in eco attitude. Order today for free shipping and 20% off your order at etitude.com/chatty, promo code chatty.
So this time of year, so many people are obsessed with their health and prioritizing wellness. And if you know someone like that, or maybe you are someone like that, help your loved ones or yourself get closer to achieving their health and wellness goals with an Everly Well at-home lab test. Everly Well offers affordable at-home lab tests that give you trusted, physician-reviewed results.
Not only are the tests done conveniently in your own home, they're also so much more affordable than doing the same tests in a doctor's office, but you're still going to get your results reviewed by a physician. So here's how it works. Head to everlywell.com to choose from their dozens of test options based on the info you want to know. And you can test everything from sleep and stress to thyroid and so much more. Then Everly Well ships the test right to your door with everything you need for a simple sample collection.
After you're done with the test, just mail it to the lab with the prepaid shipping label. And in just a few days, you'll have your physician-reviewed results. I've mentioned before that I've taken numerous of their tests, and finding out the results has been so helpful in my day-to-day life. I'm looking actually to order that sleep and stress test next, because need it.
This holiday, give more of what matters with an Everly Well at-home lab test. For our listeners, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/chatty. That's everlywell.com/chatty for 20% off your at-home lab test, everlywell.com/chatty.
Well, first of all, we start every podcast with a little sound. So we're going to start with this.
And we're back.
But our guest today doesn't have a beer, but has a little ice in the glass. So if we could get there a little clink, clink.
Let's hit a clinkle, yeah.
All right, there we go. All right. So, I mean, this is an honor for us. We definitely watched the first, well, we did like the cast bio breakdown.
Yeah, it was when we saw the cast photo.
You know, there's certain just people that jump off the page and just have a vibe right away. And we were like, this guy's got something.
Yeah.
You know, when you see a star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude,
it's
he
like
lit
you're a
it
scout.
Up.
We're a scout. We're like sports scouts.
The picture wasn't moving, but it felt like we were looking at like a Harry Potter magazine or something. We're like, it was alive.
It was alive. It was jumping out off the page at us. So a very warm welcome to PJ, who is an absolute star. Welcome, dude.
Welcome, PJ.
Hey. Thank you very much.
Give us the background behind the like swagged out vibe that we had in the cast photo.
Because the reason why you jumped off, because everyone else looks like
it was boring.
It's like a DMV photo.
Literally.
Like everybody kind of sits there with their like white shirt on and they're like,
you know, like,
and then
party,
all of a sudden like
party time.
Bam, PJ hits and it's like the sick chain and the muzzy. The sick muzzy, everything. And I'm just like, dude, what is going on with this guy? Like out of nowhere.
I was just inspired by the boys, really. You know, the boys back home were all like, hey, you know, go all out, keep your, because I was like, man, should I shave the mustache? What should I do? Clean up? And they're like, no, man, just be you. Just rock it out. And I I mean, that's something I would wear, you know, going out a normal night, you know, have a good time. Yeah. And
that's what I was curious about, was like, is it part of your normal wardrobe? Like, that is, yeah, PJ.
I was like, yeah, that's me all the way.
Sick.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, because I do feel like some of the guys, well, this is just like a general too. It's just like a lot of the people, it's like maybe they get nervous and kind of like overthink it.
Yeah.
And so then like you put on something that you like, and then you're kind of something you don't like, and then you just end up like H&R Block.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You
just end up super professional.
Yeah, then you just end up, you're like a job interview, and you're like, this is not a job interview,
no,
dude.
No, no, no.
But you also have like the best job too when it comes to like, remember when we saw you on the picture, we were like, oh, okay. I mean, like, gosh, this guy's like already starting like on the top. It's going to be over. He's got the swag, he's got the looks, he's got the whole thing. And then we're like, what's this guy do? I hope it's something stupid.
Yeah,
like, I hope
luxury car salesman. What's that?
We were just hoping it was something not that cool.
We were trying to find like, it's either insurance sales.
Yeah, something boring. And so we were like, and we were with our girls too, and then of course,
firemen.
We were just like, are you kidding me, dude?
We pegged like, you like top four. We were like, PJ's going hard. So that's like the follow up is like from that. What was your? I mean, there's a lot of follow ups. We tend to bounce all over the place on our questions, so you have to forgive us.
This is a shit show, dude.
But
just
what
apologize.
Did you? What would you? What did you say your first impression of Michelle was like?
At first she seemed genuine. Like she jumped out. Like she said something to me originally when I hopped out, and I kind of expected her to kind of sit back and like let me get through my whole thing. But she kind of like engaged off the rip, and I was like, okay, wow, this is like a real kind of, you know, mm-hmm. exchange. I wasn't expecting that. So,
were you intimidated?
It was a lot. You know, it was a lot. I don't say I was intimidated, but it was definitely like you know what to expect. You think you know what to expect, but there's always a curveball. And sure, and her like being as genuine as she was definitely a curveball.
Yeah.
So that's a difference.
What did you feel extra flustered when she dropped that there was another fireman?
That just kind of stepped it up for me. I was like, now I just have to beat him. At least, you know, I can't be the, you know, I got to beat the other fireman out at least, you know. Daniel, I love Daniel, man. He's a good dude.
So what was your thoughts when you found out he came in on the toy truck and you had the real one?
Well, I had no clue. Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I've watched.
They didn't tell you.
He wouldn't. And he never said it. He never brought it up. So nobody.
Well, that's what we were wondering too, because it was like, obviously they put it right next to each other. And so the guy's on the kid's truck, you're on the big truck. And I was like, someone's pissed.
Like someone's got to be pissed.
Like either they're pissed, either PJ's pissed because he's like, oh, he's doing the cute thing, or that guy's pissed because it's like, yo, he comes in with the literal fire truck, yeah. And I'm like coming in on the thing, and I was like, because
they had to tell him, be like, no, we can't have, like, that's too much. We can't have an actual fire truck. I mean, you can take this little toy one though,
right? You know, I don't know how it went down. I didn't even know. I thought he hopped out the limo with the fire suit on. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no clue. It was definitely funny to watch afterwards. Yeah.
Where are you? Like, where is your station?
Yeah, where do you work?
I'm in Houston.
You're in Houston. You grew up in Houston.
I grew up in Austin.
In Austin, okay.
Yeah, ATX. But I moved to Houston when I joined the fire department.
Okay.
Which do you prefer?
I actually prefer living in Houston right now. But I like to go back and visit Austin. I love Austin, but I think there's a little bit more for me here right now where I'm at in my life. But the goal is to settle down and move back to Austin for sure, eventually.
Austin's changed a lot.
It has. Yeah,
Do you like how it's gotten, or is it lost a little bit of its hometown feel?
I mean, I love it. You know, aside from the traffic is crazy. They can't build the highways and stuff fast enough to catch up with all the people that are moving to Austin. But aside from that, I love that. There's just so much to do now. There's a lot more things to do, and it's like a real tourist type place. I kind of like it. That's cool.
Question for since you've been on the show, have you been on calls where people recognize you?
I have a couple of times. there's an instance. So we do EMS as well. So like I was on the ambulance. We take a patient to the hospital, and the nurse was like, we kind of shut down the hospital triage. And she was like, are you PJ? I was like, yeah. Well, I have a name on my shirt, but yeah. She's like, oh my God, I come over. Like, they're like leaving patients and stuff. It was like, you know, it's all.
They're like, give him another shot of a painkiller or whatever. I got to talk to this guy.
So this is something interesting because we also want to, you know, a lot of our interest is like we get to know you because you were on The Bachelor. But the big thing for us is like we want to know more about PJ. And something interesting to me is the fact that you are a fireman, and I have a couple of my buddies are firemen. One of them just recently got hired, and it took him like 7 years. And so I was really interested in your process of becoming a fireman. Like, did you do the whole, like, did you go through the paramedic aspect, and then did you go to like a fire academy and then have to go through the application? He was telling me it's like 10,000 people apply for two positions.
There's like lotteries too and
it's
stuff.
It's crazy.
How is it compared to like California? Like, we know it's crazy over here. Is it the same thing over there?
Well, so Houston's a little bit different. So we had like class of like 70. So there was probably like 2,000 or 3,000 took a civil service test, what they call. Mm-hmm. But when I came through, there was 3 classes of 70 that they put through. So initially 210 guys. And it was competitive, but it wasn't like a lot of guys have stories like that where they tried multiple times. And I just scored high enough on the test to get through the first time. And we had a bunch of military guys too. They got extra points on the civil service test for military. And so my class had a lot of military guys too. They get a little leg up.
What's the civil service test?
It's basically like I think I had an advantage coming out of college too, because I was fresh out of college when I took it. And it's just basic, don't need a calculator, basic reading, writing, comprehension, some little gear type things. If you turn this gear this much, it's going to end up like this. It's like some just like observatory things, just common sense type stuff.
Like pattern solving and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
How was it with the boys being on the show? Because like that is, you know, I just feel like you probably just, I played sports as a kid, like anything like that,
they have,
I know,
to
it's
be
the same thing.
You're
just getting roasted, I'm sure, to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, you know. Initially I had to walk into I didn't want to jump the gun on it early because I was in the process of it, and I had to walk into my chief's office and be like, so I'm going to be off for a little while. I got this show, and he's like, and he just looks at me like, are you serious? And added a couple more words, like, you know, I want you to do the best, man. He's like, don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass your mom. And, but yeah, they gave me a hard time. They still give me a hard time about it. They call me Hollywood at the station.
Oh yeah. I love that.
That's the best.
Hollywood is such
a
classic.
Sick nickname, though. Like, if you're going to get it, Hollywood. They're coming around in the weight room.
Never ending, so.
How was the process with you? Because, like, I will say you lost me a bit of money. You know what I mean? The second we saw you, we were like, dude, it's over. Now, it's his to lose. So, I just want to know, like, I don't know the process, right? We've never been there. So it's like when you're there and there's so many guys and everyone's trying to kind of find the tempo and figure out how to talk and make that first impression. Like, you know, there's also a lot of people that are like slow movers, right? Like after a couple conversations, then all of a sudden the personality comes out. Like, how are you with that?
Or the competitive side. Or the competitive side where you compete by not trying to be the biggest, showiest, flashiest person. Because, like,
that's obnoxious in a weird way, too.
You're flirting with insecurity at that point if you're trying to be the loudest in the room all the time. But then it's also, like, we've seen...
You have to make an impression.
We've seen that totally backfire on people.
Yeah. I feel like there was, you know, like you said, there's guys who are trying to be, like, you know, every time there was a question, they had something to say about everything. They jumped to the front, you know. It kind of reminded me of like football camp. You know, you got these guys who want to be jumped in front of the line, like on the coaches' faces. And then you got the guys who kind of just let what they do on the field take, you know, speak for yourself. And I feel like I'm kind of more of a laid back. I like to, you know, be more naturally, organically meet people. I don't show up with like props and like things like that on a normal date. So it was kind of like, it was a little bit of culture shock in that aspect. But I think that being laid back, and she didn't really get a chance to, I think she maybe took me being more laid back as kind of like complacency and not wanting to be there. And that wasn't the case. There was just some things that came up in the ceremonies that kind of limited my time with her. So I didn't get a chance to really make that connection, let her know that I'm just more of a slow mover in that sense. You know, I don't really jump right like that.
Now that you've been watching the show, though, and Michelle is becoming more like of a, you're learning more about her, like as we learn more about her, you know, Do you feel like you would have vibed with her if you had stayed on?
I think we would have vibed. I also think that she kind of entertains some things that I don't really, you know, embellish in my lifestyle. I feel like she kind of, but she's trying to fill everybody out, you know?
Yeah. So
from what I've seen, she did give a lot of attention to some stuff that I feel like, you know, if you're like a genuine, you know what you want, there wouldn't be any question, you know, no hesitation, you know, you're getting rid of that off the bat. But that's all I can say about that.
Fair enough.
Well, it's hard because I always think about in the show, you know, because you're in the beginning, there's a frenzy to like win someone's attention, right? Uh-huh. That like, it's not until later that you actually get to know the person. So like, there's always this weird thing I think about people in this show where it's like, what if you fight to get the attention? And then all of a sudden you're like,
we don't have shit.
Or chemistry, or like, I don't know. You're not really my type or whatever. But you know, that first like 5-6 episodes, it's all about just like, how do I get there to see if there is chemistry?
Or when you're crushing on someone super hard.
Yeah.
And you haven't had much of an opportunity to talk to them. You just keep seeing them in passing. And like, you know, this is like what happened in college where like, you'd see this person once and you're like, fuck, I want to talk to that person.
Right,
and then
right.
It's like weeks go by, but you've built them up in your head. Of
to
like,
where they're like, they're your soulmate.
But, and then it's like, you know, then you talk to them.
And you're like, oh, maybe we don't have something there.
Just like,
is there something, like, if let's say right now, boom, time machine, you're back to getting a call from a producer, you're going to go on the show. What is there anything you would have done differently? Or you're like, no, I was myself. And whatever. Or you're like, no, I never really pulled the trigger like I should have.
I was definitely myself, but I think definitely, so I'll say I dodged the bullet the first time, first rose ceremony, I didn't get to talk to her because something came up with a guy. And then when it happened again and I felt it coming, I think I should have just took that opportunity upon myself to just kind of like, just, hey, I need to talk to you now. You know, like, you know, cause
yeah.
You know, it never, like, I didn't get a chance to talk to her again. And then there was something else that came up with Joe and it's just like, here we go again. Another ceremony, another time I'm supposed to talk to her. I can't get a chance to talk to her.
Right.
And you know, it's hard to make that connection, whether to see you do or you don't, you know, but that if I had a time machine, I definitely think that I would just kind of take a little bit more, been a little bit more assertive in that moment when I kind of felt like my window was closing. If you will.
It's right. Tough in that moment. I feel like I've been in moments in life where it's like you confuse like being assertive with being selfish.
Right.
Or being annoying, or being like, yeah, anything that can be construed as like trying too hard. It's like, it's such a dance in real life, let alone one person you're going after with 30 other people that are trying to go after the same person.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a weird mind game.
Well, I don't think you could do anything that prepares you for it.
No, there's no way.
I don't even think people who've been on the show who go back on are prepared for it again. I feel like it's like you forget about it. Like it's like some kind of terrible nightmare that you like lived through. And then it's like you have positive memories. So you focus on those positive points. And then when you go back into it, it's like, oh my gosh, like this is unlike anything all over again.
And it's also like certain people thrive in certain situations versus not. So like certain people, it's like, oh, in a room of 30 people, that's where I feel most comfortable. And then certain people, it's like, dude, this is not like, I'm not good, but at one-on-one, I would kill it.
Like,
it's just like
Becca thrived.
Thrives.
Becca thrives in that environment. That's my partner. She's an ex-Bachelor contestant. She's cutthroat.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very cutthroat.
Since you've been on the show, I've noticed that you have it. Cause like this is a part of it too, right? It's people post show focus a lot on social media. Right.
Cause they're like,
and you haven't. And I think I wanted to ask you about that because it's like a lot of people go like, okay, cool. I have a little bit. I can see if I can squeeze what I can squeeze out of this. What is your like, what was your kind of thought coming back from that? I'm sure you're getting a lot more DMs. I'm sure you were getting a lot more friend requests. People saying, what's up? People say, you know what I'm saying? Hey, come, like, you're in Houston, come to my restaurant, whatever, you know? Like,
you know, we asked if people are recognizing him when he's on duty.
That's what I'm saying.
Be like, when you're going out with the boys. Be like, everyone wants to go out with PJ now. I bet
you're
getting
like
all the
stock
phone calls from
the
boys. Be like, what's up, dude? You guys know about this event going on?
A lot of new friends that, you know, what I did was I made my profile, I took it off private, which has always been private. And I feel like that's probably, that was me like, hey, I'm embracing the process of it. But at the same time, like the kind of mindset I have is that, you know, I have my life back home, you know, I hear, you know, I don't have to, I'm not trying to be a, movie star. Like, I'm good with, you know, my life. You know, I'm glad to be back home. It's, you know, not to say I'm glad to be gone off the show, but it's good to be back home. And I feel like I like what I do. I like who I am. I don't have to, you know, glam up a show to try to, you know, get some type of status, but I'm having fun with it. I'm trying to, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit and talk about some things that I've wanted to talk about. So I'm using
it. Well, it also sounds like it was just like some kind of like, you know, it's an adventure.
It is.
It's Isaac, like, you know, you did a lot of hard work. Like, you're doing a career you want to be doing already. It's not like this was some like door opening to some other thing.
Exactly.
Just kind of like a cool chapter in life. And now you just move on back to like the main focus of what it always, like what was always the main focus.
And that's why I'm here to say, Michelle, you missed out on a good one, because you never know with some of these, you know, with some people trying to use this show as some sort of platform builder, some sort of like intro to acting class, some shit like this. So the fact that he came back and the most he did was take it off of private shows you that this guy is not in it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean?
All right. So now some more fun though. What in the, like all the time you've spent as a paramedic or fireman, what's the funniest call you've gotten?
I'll say this one's not funny, but this is kind of crazy. It's just the kind of stuff that we deal with sometimes, especially because sometimes there's like a language barrier. You know, Houston's a very diverse city. We got dispatched one time to a fracture. It came through as a foot fracture and like 3 a.m. and we get there and like a guy, he's his whole like throat is slit open, like, what? You know, like cartel style, you know.
Yeah.
And we're like, fracture. We're like, oh, you know, whatever. We got to get it going. So we get him to the hospital and everything, and the MD medicine route, and dropped a tube down his throat. Was breathing for him. We got him there with pulses and everything. He didn't make it. But it was it's just a crazy thing. Like, you know, in the middle of the night, you're like, okay, you're waking up for this call. You see, all right, foot fracture. What is this? You know. Some dumb stuff, and you get there and it's like, whoa.
Not what you were expecting.
Jeez. That's heavy. Do you have any like ridiculous ones that were like, I don't know, like I'm sure people call you guys all the time for the most insane things, like I can't turn my TV on or something like
that.
I
thought we started an electrical fire in college in my house, and that's why we called, because we started Googling. We got really scared and paranoid.
Yeah.
Because we had it was cold. And we had like a really powerful like space heater going, and then like plumes of smoke started coming out of the outlet.
Which, but it was just your friend smoking weed downstairs.
No, dude, it smelled like burning plastic, and we were like, "What is this?" And then we saw it, and we were like, "Holy shit!" And like shoved the fire extinguisher in the outlet, and then we started Googling about like electrical fires, and of course, when you Google something, it's like Googling a disease.
It's like WebMD. It just says the worst case every time.
It said that the fire can actually go like up the inside the walls and spread up to like light your roof on fire from your walls. Jeez. And you don't know till your whole roof is on fire.
It's like a microwave.
So we started freaking out. We ran upstairs, started pressing our bodies against the wall, trying to see if it was like we could feel
hot.
Like some ambient heat. And we was like, dude, I'm downstairs. I was like, I'm not gonna wait till we know that the roof is on fire to call the fire. I was like, we're gonna get ahead of the problem, call them now. Right. All sound like a good idea. We call the fire department. They show up. It's me. I lived with 4 other girls. They show up, and like I was, you know, it's like,
yeah, I got this, ladies.
Dude, and they had to be like the biggest crew of firemen.
Yeah, and they're like, sir.
But you all get like 3 inches from the boots. 6'1".
Don't blame it on the boots. All right,
so
they came
all these
in
guys,
tall.
Dude, they're like big, dude. Just like show up to the door, and it was just like, I don't know, like I think it's everything's okay, dude. And then we had to like explain why we called them. Yeah. It was embarrassing.
You thought
it was
gonna be like I saved the you ladies, and the reality was
I was like looking for reassurance. So I was like, we did the right thing though, right?
He's like,
like,
don't
we should
ever
have called.
Dude,
he's like,
call,
yeah, sure,
again.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Here's a teddy bear. Like,
we get some crazy calls kind of where I'm at. We had an owner of a strip club call us out. And initially it came through as like an assistant citizen, you know, they needed us to bring all the water we could get and all this and that. So we get there, whatever, didn't make sense. The notes didn't really make sense. We get there and the guy's like, hey, I hate to do this, but, you know, we're having we're trying to fill this pool out front. It was COVID, right? So this is COVID time. So the actual strip club's closed. But he wanted to fill the pool out front with water and do like an outdoor strip type deal. And so they called us out for that. My cat wasn't even mad. The girls were out there. He's like, it's like, can't do it. But I mean, you know, I do appreciate the gesture. You know, he was trying to give us like all kind of little, you know, coupons and stuff like that. And it's funny. But
wait, hold on. So he calls you guys with strip club coupons to bring the hose and fill up a pool for the ladies to like get wet and wild in. I like how he calls you guys. That's my favorite thing, is that he calls you guys like you're just like, you guys just have water on deck. They're like, I don't know how I'm going to get water fast enough. He's like, you know, I know these guys. They're driving like a big red truck and they always seem to have lots of water. We should hit them up.
For real. Like, come over here.
Insane.
That's a sick call, though. I mean, what's funny to me is like that right there, that's a small business owner.
Yeah, that's like, how am I going to save money on water? Yeah.
Exactly. Dude, he's trying to get those cheat codes.
Yeah, you tried. He was close, you know. You tried, you know.
All right, before you were fireman, did you ever have to call the fire department for anything dumb?
Never.
No?
Never. I never did. Actually, I never did. So apparently, I didn't know this. I was a kid. We had a pool backyard growing up. My dad called the fire department to fill up the pool.
Is this like a Texas thing, dude? Do people just call the fire department for free water? I've never even heard of this. I'm going to do this, dude. I'm going to be like, yo, I haven't used my sprinklers in a while. Like, could you guys come out and just water my lawn?
Is it like, if you know, you know?
Like, yeah, this is like some cheat code, like some old law from 1912. Like if
actually, we can't keep the water in the tank for more than like a week. So like, we're just going to dump it otherwise.
What I do is I call fire
departments. It's a whole pool full of water, though.
How old's your water? And they go, well, they got one day left. He's like, come over, I got you.
You got a pool? I got an empty pool.
Okay, so hit us with this.
Yeah, so it came full circle to me, you know, later on in life. But yeah, my dad.
Did they fill it up?
No, that's legit. So he called them. That was the reason. Your dad called them to fill up his pool.
Yeah. And they were like, they were cool. I mean, awesome.
Does your dad own a strip club?
No.
You're like, Dad, stop calling us.
Yeah, it was actually the same guy, you know. They actually did it. They were like, okay, we can't do this, but they did it.
The fire department filled your pool up.
They filled it up.
That's some Texas shit. That's some nice people that Texas shit. Like in LA, they would literally be like, no, but I will soak your whole house in water so you never call us again.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's so funny. Dude, that's like a whole different kind of state of mind to be like, I'm just going to do that. Like, do you have a lot of stories about your dad like that? Like, because now I'm like, I want to have your dad on. Your dad sounds tight.
That is a character. He's a wild guy, for sure. Endless. I have endless stories.
That's so funny. Okay, let me ask you this. This is a little more personal one, because I'm hung up on your dad. Your dad's funny to me. But Evan and I are both dads. Do you ever think about, like, aspects of your dad you want to be like or don't want to be like? And you're saying, like, your dad's a character. And, like, we're laughing at that part. Like, we're laughing at that character part of your dad. That's like, do you want to have that? Kind of like, do you want, like, your kids to think of you that way?
I do, in a sense. What I really want from my dad is his ability to get in anywhere. My dad is like, he's going to walk in and he's going to act like he's in there. And, like, he's like, just walk with me. You know, he gets everywhere. I'm like, wait, do it. How do you do it, man? He's gotten all-star games, like VIP shit, like all kinds of stuff. I'm just like, bro, how did you do that? You know, he just walks and gets in places, but he's just he's got a different type of old man confidence. You know, I'm trying to get that for sure.
Well, it sounds like he called the fire department to ask him to use their water. I mean, like, but I mean, there's something to that, right? If you do something confidently enough, but they'll be like, do we do this? Is that a part of our job? Like, this guy's saying it so confidently, like he's done it 20 times.
Sometimes you're in situations where it's not your job, but you don't want to disappoint this person.
Yeah, or you're like,
there's something about it. I deal with it in customer service all the time. Like 9 out of 10 people will ask me to bend the rules, and I'm like, absolutely not. And that one person comes in, and it's unexplainable. You're just like,
yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
There's something about like supreme confidence.
Yeah.
That it's almost like it's already done.
And I'm sure that's how he did. I'm sure they were like, no, we can't do this. He's like, well, y'all already came out. You know, come on. You got the water right here. You know, what are you going to do? You know, come on. Like, I'm sure he basically, you know, did his thing to get them to do that.
You know what? My dad is the opposite of that guy. My dad's like accountant vibes. So like, there's no way in any stratosphere that he, the only way he would do it is if it saved him money. Like, other than that, there's no way he'd call them. But like, my dad is good at like, he's the type of guy, and this is like, it taught me good lessons, but he's the type of, I remember being, this is like my dad in a nutshell. I remember being like 13 years old and I really wanted to snowboard. And I had like $300 to my name, but the snowboard I really wanted was like $354. So we looked at every store to try to find the one I wanted. We kept looking and he's like, never settle for buying at full price ever. You know, you always got to find the deal. We got to find a place. So we looked so long that just winter passed and I never bought a board. And then my dad was like, exactly. And I was like, wait, that was your plan the whole time? He's like, hey, precisely. You don't need a board. You can rent one. And I was like, son of a bitch. Like, he knew.
He knew.
Like,
it's a waste of your money.
If I'm this miserable enough for you, you'll just give up on your whole thing with it. And I was it's like, that worked. I mean, that makes sense. Like, if you think about it long enough, you ended up not needing it. And I was like, okay.
My dad would be my dad in the situation of asking the fire department or being the fire department. My dad would be the fire department filling up the water pool. I mean, filling up the pool.
Got it.
He'd just be like,
why not? Right.
Yeah, just, all right. Just like, it's not that big of a deal, you know.
He's just chill.
City pays for the water.
Right. He rationalizes it somehow.
Yeah, just be like, whatever, you're a nice guy. Yeah. I'll put it in. What else do I have going on?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm just so glad, all right.
Do you see yourself, this is your career until retirement?
Yeah, I promoted once. I'm trying to promote again to the cabin soon. And I want to get to Chief. I just want to, I mean, I love it, man.
You want to have a crew.
Yeah, I want to have a crew. I want to have my own crew and, you know, fuck with him. Like,
see, that's the Libra. That's the Libra part of him. He's a leader.
I like that.
That's what, I'm September 28th. We're really close.
Hey, 2 days, 2 days.
Exactly.
I know that a lot of firemen, because you guys have weird schedules, but it also can be really great because it's like 3 days on, 2 days, whatever it is. Do you chill hard on your days off? Or do you like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, oh, there's like this other kind of project I want to start, or like, you know what I mean? Or are you like, no, I just want to like enjoy my time so that I can get back to work and be like re-energized?
With no wife, no kids, you know, I don't really need. Well, our schedule is like you work one day, you get one day off, you work another 24 and you get 5 days off. So I don't really need 5 days off every week. And then with like COVID and stuff, we've had a lot of overtime. So I was kind of been hitting the overtime stuff to kind of, you know, get
overtime,
get the money. I got into my house and now I'm kind of like, okay, cool. I'm gonna chill again. And I like to travel. Traveling's my thing. So I try to take those days and
what's on your list?
On my list, that something that did have accurate on there was the carnival in Brazil. I'm trying to get out there.
Dude, I feel you. I want to go to Brazil. It's just so far away.
I've almost been to Brazil like 5 different times.
Really?
Yeah. I'm in the music industry. And so like I've almost gone to Brazil a bunch of times and then last minute it didn't work out. And it's like I've heard nothing but awesome things.
Yeah.
Dude, you should get yourself a little vacation house down there.
Yeah, just a quaint little vacation house. Just a little condo by the beach. right on the main area of Carnival. Just, you know. And the problem is if you did it, you just Airbnb it all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no way. You wouldn't even go vacation it. That's what you would do. You wouldn't even enjoy it. You just rent it out as much as you could.
Rent it out, baby.
You're terrible. Evan would stay in a cheap ass hotel down the street from the big ass house he owns somewhere, but he'd just be like, well, someone wanted to rent it, and why would I pass that up?
I just called the fire department and be like, yo, my pool's low.
All right.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for joining us,
man. Thank you so much, PJ. Is there anything you want to ask us before we say goodbye?
So, what is the. So I'm new to this. I obviously got turned on to you guys from some people who were fans of the show and reached out to me. So what is like the, just because I want to keep following. I enjoy that. Like, what's the basis of y'all? Is it just like.
That's a really good question.
Like what?
Okay. So the history of it is that our ladies have a podcast called The Chatty Broads and they kill it and have like their big fan base and everything. And then we would every once in a while drop in on their episodes. So they'd be like, okay, we're going to have the boys
like
in.
Tidbits.
They were going to like do some dating stuff or some relationship advice episodes. And then those kind of like took off. And we, you know, we all kind of had like a really fun chemistry together. And then enough of the fans were like, we want an episode with just the guys one time. So then we did that. And
but
then,
they were really scared to let us do it.
Terrified.
They were like really scared to let us do it. Because the first time,
we're idiots, dude. I mean, let's just be real.
The first episode we recorded as a group never aired.
No way. It could never have aired.
It was bad. It was bad.
A little too raw.
I was just.
Yeah, we just drink and we hang out. We say stupid shit for 3 hours and then.
I have a very poor filter. So I've had to like really work on my, like work
Same.
On, you know.
We're both just
work
like,
on finding the way that I want to say what pops into my head without exactly how I would say it in that moment.
Exactly. We're trying to be better.
Just being more aware, you know, but
yeah. So
I don't know. I mean, I think like Evan and I have no central theme to the show. I think our goal every time though is to like not try to, I think it's just to literally like give our actual opinion on things. That's it. Like whatever it is we're talking about, I think it's just like that we want to give like not be overly concerned about whatever it is that we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just like, this is how I actually, like if someone wants to ask us to talk about something and we're like, yeah, we'll talk about it. It's like, yeah, this is this, I don't know. Here we are talking.
Well,
about
and
it.
Another thing too, is like in any normal Bachelor related or adjacent podcast, we'd be like looking for all these guests. We didn't care or want him. We just knew you from the show. We were like, that guy's cool. We got to talk to that
guy at some
point.
And
that was
it. We asked him before he even went on the show.
Yeah.
We were before the episode aired. We did the cast by. We were like, we just got to talk to PJ. Like, let's see if we can get PJ on, especially before the show gets too big. Because we had no idea how you were going to perform
on
the
show.
No,
we were just like, that guy's cool. I want him on the show.
We just want to know more about PJ. And then when you got taken off without no one really getting to know anything about you, we were like, we have to get PJ on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll probably get a lot of shit for saying this, but I think like throughout this whole, you know, journey, if you will, this has probably been the most fun I've had for sure. It's most genuine.
Sick, dude. Cheers to that.
Dude, cheers.
Into the however we do it with all of us. Yeah.
I saw you finish yours a while
what
ago.
What is that? What is that? What were you drinking?
A little, was it Macallan 12?
Dang.
Scotch
this
whiskey.
This is similar. This is a Modelo. So, yeah. 99 cents at any liquor store, drugstore, or gas station.
This is $9, dude.
There you go.
Okay, sorry, I'm gonna make $125.
Please, dude, respect it.
Thanks for taking the time, man.
Thank you. Oh, it was really fun to have you on, man.
For sure, man. I'll take care.
All right.
Thanks,
see you,
PJ.
Only.
All
right, later.
Well, my boy PJ is a real treat.
Absolute treat, dude. I'm still obsessed with his dad.
Dude. Just that, imagine calling someone for the water on the truck for your
imagine
pool.
If we did. Imagine if the interview didn't lead there, where we didn't find that connection.
Insane.
That is so funny to me that he didn't just, because my brain is like all those things connect. Like, oh my God, how did we not ask? Did you tell the guys at the fire department that your dad did that?
I know.
Fuck, we missed the opportunity. We could call him up again.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Let's get him back on. He said he'd come back on. Who knows? Maybe we'll make PJ regs.
I like that. We should. You know what we should do? Have him come on the podcast in his gear.
Full gear.
We should all put gear on.
We should get his whole fucking crew involved.
Just fly them all out.
The chief. I want to know the chief, dude. For whatever reason, I'm interested in the fire chief.
You know he's got an epic stash.
Epic.
Big. And it just like comes down like a comb.
But yeah,
what
exactly.
A good dude. A good dude.
Absolutely
there for the right reasons. Sweetheart. Definitely enjoyed having
totally.
Him on. And yeah, it was sweet.
Thanks so much for coming on, PJ.
Yeah, thanks
really
so much, man.
I
really appreciate it. Good guy.
Wait, Thanksgiving, real quick. What's your favorite part? What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
The green bean casserole.
For real?
Yeah, I love it. Like with at least the way that, like my family does it has like the you know, crusty onions on it. And it's all like so good.
My favorite that I haven't had, I've like only like certain families make it. I don't think I've had it since I was a kid, but the fucking sweet yams with marshmallows.
That's not my thing.
The only reason it's my thing is because it's like, what the fuck is that?
It's like a s'more with potatoes in it. It's though? Not my thing.
But it's like, why? It's so Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no one's like, hey, did you bring the marshmallows and yam things with our pizza? No one ever does that dish.
That's not a normal dish you make for your family. That's some weird.
You have turkey sandwiches. You have mashed potatoes with steaks. You have green beans with all sorts of food. You do not have whatever the hell that is.
No, you have canned cranberry whatever.
Yeah.
And that only on Thanksgiving. Same thing with stuffing. Stuffing's the one I don't understand why we don't have it on any other meals.
There should be the mayonnaise, that little mustard.
It should be turkey, a normal thing.
It should be normal.
Well, it shouldn't just be normal with turkey. You should have roast chicken stuffing. Anytime you roast a chicken, crock pot chicken, you should be stuffing that thing up, stuff that bird. Instead we just do like onions, garlic, lemon, salt, pepper, and be like, cool. We're not even going to touch it either.
You got me kind of like watering at the mouth now. We will see you guys in a couple weeks. Everyone be safe out there. I have a crazy family. We'll see how this goes. Good luck in Indiana.
Yeah, yo, actually, it's going to be insane. It's
going to be lit.
We're going to be in for a wild one, dude.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear the stories. And we'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Peace, guys.
Bye.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.